to consult God before our choices. I want to thank Brother Robinson for reading our scripture. I don't think there's any real need to go back to that. I believe we're all familiar with the plight of Abraham and of Lot. We know the trouble that Lot got in by pitching his tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And I do believe that the influences that took place while his family lived in the location that was exposed to Sodom and Gomorrah had an impact on their final outcome. I believe you're familiar with the story enough to know that Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt. They were leaving as God had instructed them to, and God told them not to look back, but she looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. I believe you remember also the matter of his daughters as they had sought refuge in this cave, as it would be, and the things that occurred at that point in time, how that this incestuous activity took place there. I do believe that that is because of the influence, the liberty that was granted to them, the perception of life that they had arrived at while they lived among people who were wicked. Now, that's not the place where I'm going tonight, but I just wanted to string that into the story as you look at this very innocent-looking decision that Lot made. He made a decision that would probably have been the decision that we would have made. He found a place that seemed to be perfect, well-watered, a lot of pastures, much room to take care of his flocks. And so, yes, given the choice, I think we'd all choose to try to make the best that we could of our situation. But sometimes little things in our decision lead us to places that we never wanted to go to. I'll ask you at this moment, just for a brief moment, to think about some difficult situation that you might have gone through. And think about the decision that you made to get to that place. One decision, an either-or decision. And because of it, you ended up where you ended up. And in some cases, it was not the right place. And so, if you're by chance wondering how you got to where you are today, well, I can give you the exact reason. The reason that you are where you are today is because you decided that this is where you wanted to be. See, whether it's a physical location or a station in life or your financial situation or your significant other relationship, even your relationship with Jesus, you are exactly where your decisions placed you. That's putting a lot of responsibility on us because no one's responsible for where we are but us. I've heard people say, well, everybody's got to be somewhere. And so I think that that's an oversimplification of a fact that has further reaching consequences than it may seem. Yes, everyone does need to be somewhere, but how you got there is often an intriguing and even complex situation. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the wise man said, there is a reason and a purpose for everything under the heaven. I believe that. I believe that for everything that happened, there is something that kicked it off. And that includes our decision. For every decision that we make, there's a reason. Even though it may be something small, there's a reason why we end up where we end up. See, if you track Lot's life, you'll find that the decisions to pitch his tent toward Sodom had his roots in a bad decision, and because of that, he experienced some bad things as recorded in the scriptures. Each one of us represented here today are here as a result of a chain of events strung together, and they led to this moment. Now, when you awakened this morning, you decided when to bathe, what clothes to put on, what route to take to get here. You decided after you got here where you would sit and what you would do while worship was going on. You decided when you left here where you would go and what you would do during the period of time between being here and evening service. All of the things are a continuous and ongoing process of decisions. Some of the decisions seem very, very small, like perhaps where you'd eat lunch, unless, of course, you got food poisoning. And then all of a sudden, that was a bad decision. But your thoughts, your process brings you to where you are. And I believe that's a principle that we need to study in the church and in the world. Because such thing as ignoring things like climate change and the impact of the nation standing by the way that we treat aliens, all those things will have a far-reaching impact. But they're going on now, and a lot of people are discounting those as just being something that's going to happen. There will be a price tag. There will be a bill, a due bill set because of these kinds of things. Let us for a moment put aside the thoughts of our physical presence and think about our overall condition. If you're happy or if you're sad, if you're hungry or if you're full, if you're educated or uneducated, if you're financially secure or if you're struggling, the results of where you are is because of the decisions that you've made. Some of us have made some decisions that ended in results that we're happy with. Some of us are dealing with consequences from decisions that didn't go well. See, in Genesis chapter 3, around verse 6, Eve made a decision that the world is still feeling today. In Genesis 16, verses 1 through 3, Sarah made a decision to send Hagar into Abraham for the purpose of conceiving a child. Sarah later conceived Isaac, and to this day, the offsprings of those two brothers are still fighting. Whether we know it or not, we all face decisions that we'll have to answer, whether knowingly or by default. Each of us must decide what we will do with Jesus. That's a question that's going to be answered. We will have to decide what we're going to do with Jesus. Listen to what Moses writes over in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Choices. Decisions are such a part of life that people sometimes don't even realize that they're making them. They just do what they do. Turn to the left. Turn to the right, go straight. Decisions don't happen, they happen with such routineness and regularity that they almost happen automatically. One thing will always prove true, though. Decisions are always followed by consequences. You make a decision, be prepared to deal with whatever consequences come about because decisions bring about consequences. Adam and Eve made a decision. Moses made a decision. King Saul made a decision. King David made a decision. Solomon made a decision. And in each case, there were profound consequences that followed. In the case of each of these individuals, they decided to do things that each one of us might have decided to do. And as a result, we're still reading about how their lives were impacted by their decisions. Recently, I was driving along a four-lane street in Nashville, and as we approached the traffic light, the light had already turned yellow. It had been yellow for a little while. So I'm thinking, okay, now I'm not going to make this light, so I'm just going to go ahead and stop at the light. Well, the car right beside me didn't. He went on through, and I thought, oh, man. But then by the same token, nothing happened to him. He went through. Nobody hit him. He didn't get a ticket. Nothing bad happened. I got to thinking to myself, well, I should have gone through too. I could have saved myself a little bit of time. And then the foolishness of that decision came upon me because he took all that risk, and at the very next traffic light, I caught up with him. You see, decisions like that, it could have been an accident. I could have gotten a ticket. It could have been any number of things that happened based on the decision that I made. Now, a decision has been made about us. Y'all know we were chosen. God made a decision about us. We were chosen to be different. We were chosen to be set apart. You know, it's easy to be like the world. The greatest challenge to young people is to recognize that there is a difference between the mindset of the world and the mindset of a Christian. We have young people in this day and time who are living, calling themselves Christians, but they're living just like the world. Well, let me be honest. I don't need to just limit that to young folk. We got some older folks who got the same problem. We got some older folks who are living with sliding morals and permissive attitudes and a subliminal thought that God somehow no longer regards sin as sin. And it's opened the door for individuals to make bad decisions. God has a special work that requires a special people, folks. That's us. God knew that not everyone would be a follower of his. God knew that everyone wouldn't be obedient to him. And so he cut out a segment of his creation to call his own. I heard a preacher once say that we're God's pocket money. We're his spending change. You know, we're that special people who are there for his pleasure exclusively. That's what our pocket money is about, isn't it? We get through spending our money on the bills, paying the bills and whatnot. What we have left over is our pocket money. And so we go do what we want to with that. Well, that's the way God feels about us. We are the ones who bring him pleasure beyond the existence of all of his other creation. We are a special people, and we have special requirements. But before we can fulfill our mission to God, we must first decide to separate ourselves from practices that go against God's nature. And that's where the problem is in today's world. See, people are not deciding. They can decide, but people are not deciding because they're having fun in the world and they want the security of being in the church, and the two cannot mix. No more than you can bring a light into a dark room and the room remain dark. The two just don't mix. We are chosen people. In one instance, we were called priests. We are set apart people. We are designed to perform tasks of God because of the embodiment of a spiritual presence in us. In John chapter 15 and verse 16, it tells us about we being a chosen people. In John 15 and 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. What was it that God saw in you that caused him to choose you? What was it? God chose you. Why did God choose you? See, God does not need someone who looks like the world and acts like the world to lead the world out of darkness. All that a lost person can do is show someone else how to be lost. But God can surely use someone who was lost to show those who are lost how to be saved. Christians need to stop envying the world. We need to stop emulating the world. We need to recognize that we send a message when we emulate and envy the world. By that, just the message is given by our acting it out. The world assumes that they're okay according to us because we act like them. We've got to stop envying the world, and we've got to stop emulating the world. The nature of a Christian should be such that their nature should automatically go against sin. What's wrong with the church today? We've tolerated too much sin. What's wrong with the church today? We've lived and let live. That's not what we're instructed to do in the Bible. We're supposed to be light and salt. We're supposed to make a difference. We're supposed to impact the people around us. That's our sermon. That's how we speak to the world. But what has happened is we've gotten quiet, and we've allowed people to live like they want to live without any kind of word coming from us. Christians who claim to be Christians and live sinfully are making a statement that God's will is irrelevant to them. One's actions always speak louder than their words. So as Joshua prepared the children of Israel to possess the land of Canaan, he made it very clear that his primary priorities was to follow God. Joshua even said to the people, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's taking a stance. That's being a light. That's establishing the boundaries. You can do what you want to do, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Here's a story of a man who made a decision that not only changed his life, but it changed the life of a nation and the destiny of a people. From the beginning of his leadership, Joshua was willing to stand by his faith. Against all odds, he did that just for the purpose of serving God. I'm not going to go there, but in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 10, we read about the episode with the spies. 12 went, 10 came back with an unfavorable report, but two, Joshua and Caleb, came back and said, "Let's go in and possess that land." It was clear that Joshua took the lead not only in his house, but among his people. See, there are many choices that we can make. However, one that is absolutely critical is to serve the Lord. We can choose to have our false gods, or we can choose to walk with the true and living God. Life is a series of choices. We make choices every day. Some decisions have far-reaching consequences, and other decisions are not so far-reaching. But our choices determine the character and the direction and the destiny and the eternity of our soul. God has given us the power to choose. Thusly, learning what to choose and how to choose may be the most important knowledge that we will ever have. Of all the choices that we face in life, there's one that has eternal consequences. It is a choice to know God or to ignore God. And the writer of Proverbs over and over again warns us about depending on man's wisdom rather than seeking God's wisdom when making decisions. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, the preacher says, "He who trusts in himself is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom is kept safe." See, your life is not an accident. You're not here by accident, by happenstance. You didn't just happen to show up on this planet and live this long. Your life is not an accident. You have a destiny, one that only you can complete. The Bible says, "Your eyes saw me when I was only a fetus. Every day of my life was recorded in your book before one of them had taken place." Psalms 139, verses 16. That's an amplified version, by the way. See, the Bible declares you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will always prevail. So if you follow God's will, then you will succeed in the things that you set out to do. When we discover God's purpose for our lives, we can be confident that we'll succeed if we follow him. Therefore, anyone who chooses to ignore God has made the wrong choice and hence is not wise. His foolish choice inevitably will lead him to corrupt and vile deeds and may cost him his soul. See, this kind of idea that choices are important should be considered strongly and deeply, because we need to learn to make good choices, and then we need to teach our children to make good choices so that there'll be another generation coming behind them that might have a little hope. I've said many a times that common sense isn't so common, and the older I get, the more that I see that it isn't. But I just wonder what the Bible actually meant when it says that as time passes, the generations get wiser and weaker. I'm not seeing the wisdom, so I must not be understanding what God is telling us, because it seems like we're getting more powerful in the things that we can do. We have machines that we can move mountains with. We can do anything that we want to through technology, but it seems like we ain't got good sense anymore. It seems like two and two no longer makes for four. And so what I'm saying to we who are the called, the light and the salt of the word of this world, we need to demonstrate good choices in the things that we do. We need to strive for good choice. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I'd see the old people, they'd ponder over stuff before they'd say anything. Now our mouth jumps into gear before our brain ever thinks about it. But older folks would think about it before they would make plans. And they would foresee that. And to me, now maybe I was just a kid admiring someone who was older and smarter and wiser, but it just seemed like they had their feet solidly planted on the ground. And I think that that's an aspiration for all of us. We need to back up and ask, what would God have us to do in every aspect of our lives? And when we start to follow God, I think that we'll help ourselves and we'll help the people around us. You know, I pray that this week will be a wonderful week for each and every one of you, and that as you come up on decisions that could go either way, that you will put God in front of every decision, big ones, small ones. Start your day. Wake up and ask God to guide you with His Spirit through that day and give you the wisdom that you need in order to do what you need to do when you need to do it. I'll join you in that prayer as well. I kind of already do, because I understand. I have asked God on many occasions. I've said the prayer to Him that Solomon said when he said, "I'm just a boy. I don't know how to come and go, but You've put me in charge of Your people. So what I ask You is wisdom so that I might govern Your people." And so with that thought in mind, I think that every Christian can repeat that prayer. He's given us a charge. He's given us opportunities that we need to ask God to guide us as we do the things that we need to do, because in some cases, we may not get but one chance to lead a person to salvation. Let us not pass that chance up. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we ask you today to put Him on in baptism for the remission of your sin. If you are a Christian and you've not lived as you should, we ask you to consider the sin that you have committed. You know, there just comes a time when you have to repent. And when that time comes, we should not hesitate, because it is what reconnects us to a relationship with God. So if you need to repent of your sins, that happens in your heart. Confession happens with your mouth. Then we will pray together, and God will forgive you of the sin that you have committed. If you have other concerns, we ask you to bring those to the Lord right now as we stand and sing our invitational song.